Well, we can be so easily deceived. You know, this is no secret, by the way. I'm not divulging some profound truth that will set the world in a state of mass hysteria or excitement. We all know that we can be easily deceived. Have you seen those TikTok videos that are floating around of the individuals, and they show behind the other side of the camera how so easily you can trick somebody with a ball and a cup, or tearing up a piece of paper, or a dollar bill? And perhaps you haven't seen those, but now that I have said that out loud, Siri or Google, whoever it is going to start showing you those videos on your social media feed. But we are so easily deceived. Right now, someone is receiving a call somewhere, and this call is informing them that their computer has been hacked, or their identity has been stolen, their credit card has been compromised, or the ones that I found or I'm fond of are the one when the individual, the fraudster, will attempt to spoof Pastor Bob's email address. And they try to fabricate a wonderfully complex and time-sensitive situation that only I can fix with my power and influence. Here's one of my favorite ones. Now, before I tell this story, this is a true story. Before I tell this story, Bob had absolutely nothing to do with this. It was nothing that he did. People can go on our website and readily get our email address. You could do that today if you wanted to. kbc.ca. Contact us. You can contact one of the pastors. You can get our email. Did you know that there are tricksters out there who will try to pretend by spoofing your email that this individual is actually sending you a message? So here's what happened. On one occasion, I received an email from, you guessed it, Pastor Bob, informing me that he was not able to make bail in the United States. And that apparently, if I called in scratched off numbers off of the back of a bunch of Google Play gift cards, the authorities would take those as acceptable payment to bail him out of prison. Now, after checking the email address and discovering that the email was not actually from Bob, they get our email off the website, by the way. I don't do this all the time, but I did do this time. I sent back an email reply. And I said this, "Again, Bob? I can't keep bailing you out all the time. I'm afraid you are on your own, buddy." Now, I do not recommend that you click on any attachments or ever give your personal information to anyone claiming to call you about fraud on your credit card, especially if the solution involves gift cards as a payment. Now, to my surprise, Bob actually wasn't in any danger or trouble whatsoever. Nothing was wrong. Someone was trying to deceive me. They were trying to, quote unquote, give me the evil eye. Their purpose was to lead me astray. Now, the Greek word there is baskeno. It literally means to give someone the evil eye, to bewitch them, to cast an evil spell upon them. Literally, witchcraft gets its terminology derived from this word that Paul uses. Now, those are powerful words coming from Paul. Who has bewitched you? And we see here powerful words coming from Paul to Peter in verse 11, if we look at a context of our passage. In chapter 2, verse 11, before we even get to verse 19, we see Paul saying, I opposed him to his face. He's talking about Peter here. And he and Peter have a very complex conversation involving how Peter was allowing others to bewitch him. And he opposed him to his face, he says. And in Galatians 3:1, Paul also says, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Now, the church in Galatia had been led astray to believe that salvation was not through faith alone, by grace alone, in Christ alone. They had been deceived to believe that in order to be saved, they also needed to keep the law. Now, for a context, again, we can look at Galatians chapter 2, verses 14 to 16. And this is what the Apostle Paul says to the church in Galatia. When I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas in front of them all, that's Peter, by the way, you are a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile and not like a Jew. How is it then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs? We who are Jews by birth are not sinful Gentiles, and not sinful Gentiles know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. Because by the works of the law, no one will be justified. Now, Paul's pretty clear and plain here about this. He's like, what are you doing, Peter? You're doing one thing but saying something else. Peter, you're being a hypocrite. Don't be like that, Peter. You need to, the way you live, you need to, like everyone should be allowed to live the way that you're living. You're living by faith alone, by grace alone, in Christ alone, Peter. What is all this talk about as well, keeping the law? Now, again, we look to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 for our own context today. For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. We are made right before God because of Jesus. As the old hymn teaches, simply trusting every day, trusting through a stormy way, even when my faith is small, trusting Jesus, that is all. And you remember when I spoke about faith alone just a couple of weeks ago, I talked about the story about my dad carrying me on his shoulders and how I could even feel the water. I could feel his muscles flexing as he was working through the river, as he crossed the river for us. That's a great picture of what faith is. Faith is belief demonstrated. And I was putting my faith in my Father that we would make it to the other side safely. You know, it's true for us as believers today, right? Simply trusting every day, trusting through a stormy way, trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the days go by, trusting as the moments fly, trusting him whate'er befall, trusting Jesus, that is all. Now, the church in Galatia, I can hear them. I can see them. Why? Because I can actually hear myself and see myself in their shoes. They say in their hearts, it can't be that easy. No, there has to be something more. Just trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not on my own understanding, and in all my ways acknowledge him, and he will really direct my path. Is it really that easy? They had this notion that there must be something more to do. Now, eventually this leads to some false teaching about what Gentiles ought to do with Jewish customs, to the point that some in the early church were teaching a false gospel. They were teaching a Jesus plus message to be saved. And it's not actually until, if we look historically at the early church, if we look through the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 15, we see that they have their first council meeting, they have their first big church meeting, and it's not until James, the brother of Jesus, says, well, here's what we ought to do, and he lays out a couple of very clear things. And he says, you know, just be careful with what you eat, and be careful with what you do with your body. And those are the two rules he gives. There's no big, vast set of Jewish customary laws. Just simply says, be careful what you eat and be careful what you do with your body. And the debate about this truth finally gets put to rest. But how easily this deception can occur. Paul says emphatically that through the law, I died to the law so that I might live for God. Now notice with Paul, it's not, salvation isn't the absence of something. It's actually the inclusion of something, and that is Jesus. And so it's not about trying to follow a list of rules, but it's giving your life to the one who is the fulfillment and perfection of the rules. And Paul emphatically says, through the law I died to the law so that I might live for God. Paul knows that trying to follow the law for salvation is a futile effort. We can't do it. That's not good soil, to use Pastor Bob's illustration and Jesus' teaching of the four soils. That's just not good soil. The birds will gobble up the seed. The rocks will not allow the seed to take root. The weeds and thorns will choke out the seed. No, we need rich, fertile soil so that the seed of the gospel can take root and grow deep. We need Jesus. We need his presence. We need him. We need him every day. We need him every hour. We need him every moment. We need Jesus. For he is the one who fulfilled the law entirely. He fulfilled it completely. He fulfilled it perfectly for us. Verses 19 to 21 clearly teach that through Christ, we are made to live for God. So we die to the law. For simplicity, let's say that's the Ten Commandments. In verse 19, we die to the law. But because of that, we live for God. Now, how do we do that? Paul says we do that by faith. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. He continues on. He says, the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. And so the Apostle Paul understands that I am not going to just simply brush to the side the fact that this is a gift I don't deserve and dwell and focus on the fact that I'm never going to measure up to God's standard of perfection. I need to be aware of that. I need a Savior. I can't do this on my own. He says, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through keeping the law, then Christ would have died for absolutely nothing. Jesus has done everything we need to be forgiven. Jesus has done everything we need to be saved. Jesus has done everything we need to be given a brand new start to receive mercy, peace, and joy everlasting. Everything you need and want, all that can be received to our hopes and our dreams can be received in full through faith in Christ Jesus. Remember, faith is belief demonstrated. Now, we all show our hand of life cards, right? You may think that you hide your life cards, but the truth is we all show our hand of life cards. We put our trust every day in a great many things. We trust that gravity will continue to work. Just a few days ago, about a week ago, walking out to the car, someone in our household made a comment about how fast the earth spins and how in the world is it we don't just fly off into space. Well, do you ever think about that? No. Just walk to the car and get in and drive away. How about that your seatbelt will function? And that the brake pedal is going to stop the car? Or that the sun is going to rise tomorrow? And we could go on all day long. And all of those things are belief demonstrated. So I guess the real question is, how does that work with you and Jesus? When we believe that we are not on a perpetual performance evaluation, when we put our trust in Jesus, we receive God's Spirit. That happens the moment you put your trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. You don't receive salvation by being good, just as Paul states in verse 21 that if that were the case, Christ would have died for absolutely nothing. But when I truly receive the Spirit through faith in Christ Jesus, Scripture tells me that I've been crucified with Christ, yet I no longer live, but it's Christ who lives in me. Now, don't be fooled by the evil one. The church in Galatia, many of them were fooled by the evil one. They were deceived and bewitched. They were given the evil eye into thinking that you can muscle up or you can measure up to earn favor with God. It doesn't work that way. There is no gift card that you can scratch and read off the numbers on behalf of God. None of that will ever do anything but deceive us and lead us astray. We are not in debt to Jesus. We do not need to pay him back for the gift of salvation. We are not in debt to Jesus. We are indwelt by Jesus. The Christian life is not so much about you and I living for Christ as it is trusting that Christ will live in us and for us and through us. This is what it means to live by faith. By faith, we are accepted before God. By faith, we are alive to God because we have been raised with Christ Jesus. Here's what Hudson Taylor had to say about this truth. Oh, it is joy to feel Jesus living in you, to find your heart all taken up by him, to be reminded of his love by his seeking communion with you at all times. Not by your painful attempts to abide in him. He is our life. He is our strength. He is our salvation. I am no longer anxious about anything, for He, I know, is able to carry out His and His will is mine. And His resources are mine, for He is mine and is with me and dwells in me. Mark Twain once said, "The two most important days in your life are the day you are born and the day you find out why." May you know the riches of God's love, His mercy, and His grace. And may you understand the promise of His Holy Spirit, because you haven't been deceived, but you have gladly and openly received the promise of His Holy Spirit. He wants to live in you. He wants to live for you. He wants to give you everything you need to do everything that God is calling you to do. You just simply need to... This is going to sound almost a little paradoxical. A friend of mine was learning to play golf. And the golf instructor, you paid for lessons. And the golf instructor, I think, was getting a little frustrated because the ball was going this way and that way and that way. And one night at the driving range, I don't hit the ball well, but I can hit the ball straight most of the time. And here's my friend, and he's topping the ball and slicing the ball and hooking the ball and knocking the ball directly sideways. And the golf instructor looked at my friend and said, "You need to stop trying to hit the ball." It's not Jesus plus. It's Jesus. Do you want to experience that kind of life? Simply come to Him and receive Him, and He will come in. "Behold, behold, I stand at your heart's door and I knock. If anyone will hear my voice and simply open the door, I will come in and have communion with them." You know, that verse is not written to unsaved people that don't know Jesus. The verse is actually written to folks just like these folks in Galatia. Open your heart and receive His presence. And the promise of His Holy Spirit is yours. May you enjoy Him to the full. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Lord, we just pray and ask that you would help us, Lord, to just rest in you, receive your promises, and to fully trust you, Lord, to not allow the world and the devil to deceive us, to beguile us, to have an evil eye on us. But may we simply see Christ. And may we be raised with Him, a new creation. Father, we pray and ask that you would fill us with your Spirit, guide us and direct us into your wonderful promises. Father, may we discover those as we, Lord, not only celebrate our birth, but Lord, we discover when we were born again in Christ, we discover exactly why it is that you are calling us and you love us and you gave yourself for us. Father, in the days and the weeks to come, may we earnestly and in gentleness and peace, may we listen for your voice and Lord, receive more and more of your presence. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.